Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
At Domino's, you can carry out one-topping pizzas for $7.99 every day. Even today, you ask? Let's check howabouttoday.com to find out. Yep, carry out only. Ask for this offer. Availability and charges may vary. Size availability varies by crust type. Excludes XL and specialty. Your local store may charge extra for some toppings and sauces.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Sunday edition of the podcast. My name is Michael Borky. As always, I'm glad that you are here. Again, apologies for not being live on Thursday. For the radio show last week, Hey Dad and I, we were just on the road a ton. Had the Hartfield game on Friday as well that I had to do. This coming Friday, I will be in Columbia for that one. So live every day this coming week. No travel for the radio show. Had to be in Oxford on Tuesday, had to be on the coast on Thursday. And this week, all good. We're live today, Tuesday, and Thursday, and Sunday, back on schedule. We have survived the offseason. There is no more weekends without college football. Thank the sports gods for that. My goodness, do we need actual football to get here. And, I mean, this has just been the worst offseason. One of the worst off seasons in the history of college football. There have been worse things, like when the Penn State stuff happened. So it'd be hyperbolic to say that this is the worst off season of all time, but man, it is up there. Just constant garbage that we have to talk about. And tonight is no exception. So glad that you guys are here though. Don't forget to like the video, subscribe to the channel, all that good stuff. Really appreciate you. We're getting closer and closer to the start of actual football, and you should subscribe, because even though you hear me every day for 3 hours statewide on Sports Talk Mississippi, and you hear me here 3 hours a week in the off season as well, if you want to hear more of me, you know, subscribe. And if you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review wherever you get your podcast. This edition of the show is presented by Scruggs in Saltillo, Mississippi. Farm, lawn, and garden, they've got everything. Also inside of the home as well. If you need appliances or home improvement projects, they've got you covered, and I mean everything. They've got you covered. Also clothes, boots, even the fishing section is outstanding, the cheapest beer in town. But most importantly, for your yard, for your garden, for your hunting land, for your property, for your farm, they've got you covered with everything you need, especially America's tractor, the John Deere. They've got 0% financing on zero turns, 5-series tractors, compact tractors, and commercial mowers. 0% on all of them. Just 1.9% if you need a gator as well. Those are great for the neighborhood, for the kids, or for your hunting property, getting yourself around town. It's just an awesome vehicle, better than the car I drive. And they're good people there at Scruggs. They will take care of you. And pretty conveniently located up there in North Mississippi. It is worth the trip. Trust me. Go check them out and tell them that it was me that sent you there at Scruggs Farm, Lawn, and Garden right there just outside of Tupelo in Saltillo, Mississippi. So glad that you guys are with me tonight. And as you saw the news, Daquan Wright, after playing for the Cleveland Browns yesterday, the former Ole Miss tight end, kind of disappeared from training camp for a little while, came back to play in their game yesterday. Todd Monken was asked about the game and just laughed. I mean, just like, this stuff is crazy. Lane Kiffin called me. Now I know why he was trying to get in touch with me, and just kind of talked about how crazy the entire circumstance was. Had entered the portal. I guess his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, was able to get Cleveland to release him, even though cut day is coming up. And he is starting the process to go to LSU. I don't know this for sure. I would be shocked beyond measure if, as of this point, if he's the only former Ole Miss player that was under contract in the NFL that found his way down to Baton Rouge. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's more than three or four former college players that signed NFL deals that end up in Baton Rouge as well. This is what, you know, this is what they're doing, is thanks to a judge in Louisiana. You guys know all that. We don't need to rehash that. And what I'm not going to do is be like, this is so crazy and this is so bad. We're not going to have that conversation, because obviously it's crazy. Yes, it's nuts that a guy that played for the Browns yesterday is going to college to play football today. That is an insane thing, but let's get past the, oh, wow, this is crazy, and talk about it with a little bit more depth. Because you guys aren't going to like how I'm going to start here. To be honest, you're not going to like this. I did say it on Twitter, though, and I don't think any of you really disagreed with me. LSU doing this the way that they are doing it so publicly after the SEC re-emphasized that the intra-conference transfer rules still apply, which is after the portal window is closed, you cannot transfer from one SEC school to another SEC school. LSU obviously believes through that court case in Louisiana that the SEC cannot enforce that rule, that the judge enjoined that rule. And this playing out the way it's playing out so publicly, they're taunting the SEC is what LSU is doing right now. They are quite simply saying, we're going to do this and we don't think you can do anything about it. And come at us because we're doing this. So deal with it right in the face of the SEC and right in the face of Commissioner Sankey. They are doing it very publicly and without shame or anything. It's just, this is what we're doing. Come at us, bro. And honestly, I respect that. I know you guys aren't going to like me praising LSU with an Ole Miss audience podcast, but the brass ones that it takes to be so open and just willing to completely go against the directive from the SEC, to completely go against SEC rules, and presumably are prepared to fight the SEC in court, because that's the next step to this too, possibly anyway. If Greg Sankey and the SEC want to preserve themselves, they're going to have to try to fight against this. And so LSU being not only very public about this, shamelessly so, and willing to go to court to fight against the SEC, I respect that. I mean, look, when you're dropping $50 million on a roster, you've got no time. And you've really got no time to worry about anything other than doing whatever you possibly can do to win. And they're doing that. Shamelessly so, and I do respect that. They have very clearly gone all in on the villain role. But what I don't like is when villains try to act like they're not. That's why if I were advising Lane Kiffin, I would just say, hey, dude, just give up the I've changed, I'm holistic now crap. You haven't. Everybody knows you haven't. You're the same guy. You haven't changed a bit, and that's okay. Your job is to win football games, not to be the reincarnation of Buddha, right? So you're the villain of college football. You are. Your actions have caused you to be the villain of college football, and you continue to do that. So just lean into it. No more, oh, I've changed. I have perspective. Stop that, because nobody buys it anyway. So just be the villain, because your people are prepared to embrace that role, right? LSU is all in on this. And again, I respect that. They're all in on it, and they do not care what anybody thinks. So you do that too. Your actions are that way, but stop trying to fool people into thinking that you've changed. Who cares? Your job is to win games. So that's the first thing. They are, daring the SEC and Greg Sankey to do something about it. Right in their face, laughing at them in their face. That is what's happening here. And I did not think that I would ever see the day where a school in the SEC would be so willing to go at the league or dare the league to come at them the way that LSU is. So now what? That's the bigger thing is, all right, Daquan Wright's trying to come back and transfer to LSU. And again, the belief is, and the angle that they're using is, not only does that Louisiana judge enjoin the intra-conference transfer rules, they're also going to argue, and you know, it's kind of smart, that he's not transferring from one SEC school to another. He was in the NFL, so he's not transferring. He's enrolling in school. We'll see if that actually plays out in court, because I would absolutely love to see the SEC versus a member institution in court. Like that's just pure cinema is what that is. But now what? Greg Sankey has painted himself into a corner here with what his response needs to be. Because as Alabama people have pointed out, and this is where I think this is going to start really coming to a head. Similarly, I think, to what happened with Sorsby in the Big 12, because remember, Texas politicians and stuff got involved, and then other conference members and other schools did the, you know, we're not going to play Texas Tech thing. Other attorneys general from other Big Ten states got involved, and that's what ended that. Now, Sorsby is very different than Daquan Wright. Sorsby bet on his own team. Daquan Wright's just trying to come back from the NFL. Now, both of those things should not be allowed to play college football. Don't get me wrong, but those are different things. And so, sidebar, when you see people try to look at the Sorsby situation and the Wright situation and the Trinidad situation and everything in between and try to take cases, situations like those, and talk about them as if they are equal to each other on merit, ignore those people and dismiss them. It's such a stain on the online discourse that used to be enjoyable that nobody at all is willing or capable or somewhere in between to recognize that there are nuances when you have a situation involving the attempt to get a medical red shirt and an attempt to come back to school after going to the NFL after the fifth year thing happened and the timing of that and gambling on your own team and all of and Diego Pavia in the junior college years, trying to act like all of those are the same is the mark of somebody that's either being disingenuous or is not intelligent enough to carry on a serious conversation with you. So I would just push those aside and ignore that because they're not equal. They can be similar. They're comparable. But no, they are, all of them are different and need to be reacted to differently, even if you come to the same conclusion. Anyway, nuance is totally lost. But Greg Sankey painted himself into this corner by doing what he did with Charles Bediako. And that's why you need to really watch carefully what the SEC does over the next few days, because Greg Sankey argued in a Tuscaloosa County court against an Alabama player very publicly. And his stance was, I guess that's where he draws the line, right? Where he drew the line, because he didn't fight against Pavia. He didn't fight against Trinidad, but he did fight against Bediako. And his position was, you can read it if you want, that players that go pro and come back to college, you know, disrupts competitive integrity and all that crap, right? But that is the stance that the league took against Charles Bediako. And ultimately, whether it was his influence or not, doesn't matter. The SEC got what they wanted. They got their desired result, and he could not play for Alabama anymore. And so if I'm the AD or the president or coaches at Alabama, I am demanding Greg Sankey do the same thing. And if he does not do the same thing, then I am very, very publicly against the commissioner of the league's ability to be the commissioner of the league. If he drew the line at Charles Bediako, then if I'm Alabama, I'm not even calling him. I'm going up to Birmingham tomorrow and saying, you did this to us. Now you need to go do that to them because you blocked our guy. He's a G leaguer. This guy had a pro contract that was worth more than Bediako's. He played on Saturday and he's going to enroll on Sunday. No, you're going to go do to them what you did to us. And I don't think Alabama would be alone in that desire. Maybe I'm wrong, but if you fought that, you must fight this as well, and you must do it publicly, and you must do it in court. And if you don't, there's already, as we've talked about this offseason, there is already some internal frustration with some things that have happened within the SEC. We talked about John Summerall's quotes about the vote. Glenn Boyce had quotes about the vote, both of those about the going to nine conference games. It's clear that a lot of people involved are really frustrated about that happening without getting the expanded playoff. I don't know if it's true or not. This has not come from Ole Miss, but I have heard that there's been some frustration about the television deal, that it's not big enough relative to what their ratings are and things like that. That there's just some frustration. Hunter Yurecek went public against, and his complaints were goofy, but he did it. And so there's just a lot of stuff, a lot of frustration, a lot of unrest. The lobbying to Congress, there are some people within the SEC that don't like that. Tennessee's been very public about this is stupid. Let's collectively bargain and end all this. And there's been a lot going on and a lot of frustration with how the league has handled a lot of this stuff. And so now this is the sticking point. What can Greg Sankey actually do here? I don't know that answer. Maybe that answer is nothing. But because the precedent that he set with Charles Bediako, then he must fight this here. I think the SEC, if they were to try to fight this, their position, as I understand it, I'm not a lawyer, but I've talked to a lot of people and tried to figure this out as best as I could. The SEC would have a better chance to argue their rules than the NCAA. Because as we've talked about a billion times, I've been talking about this for a decade now. The NCAA's rules, because they monopolize college sports, essentially is what they do, were against the law, in effect. That's why they lose in court so much, because NCAA rules are against the law because they monopolize the sport. The SEC does not. So the SEC could argue that they're not robbing Daquan Wright of an opportunity to play college football and make money, because their league is comparable to the Big Ten, the Big 12, and the ACC, that the SEC does not have a monopoly on the sport. So they're not violating, I guess they could argue, they're not violating antitrust law because they're not preventing him, they're not damaging him, they're not blocking him from playing college football. They're just saying he can't do that within this league, but he can go to that league, and you can point to the Big Ten and say they make more money, but you can go to these other leagues that are comparable to ours and make money and still play. We're not blocking you from playing football. We're blocking you from playing football in this league. And that, as I understand it, is a better legal argument than what the NCAA has. But we'll see. But what I don't think is survivable for the commissioner of the SEC, I don't think it's survivable for him to do nothing. In terms of his future and the league's future as it's currently structured, I really don't think this is survivable if he just lets it go. So I'm really curious to see how it gets handled over the next few days. Again, you've already seen him draw a line in the sand. I assume he's going to do it again, but I don't know for sure. And I don't know if the SEC can win that kind of legal fight. I mean, I know one court says that their rules are enjoined, but who's to say that there's not something in the SEC bylaws that allow them to do whatever, you know? We don't know exactly what the SEC's lawyers can figure out about this and you know, what an Alabama-based district court can rule over. We don't know. Can they withhold television money? I don't know. Can they prevent them from playing in the conference championship? What options are on the table? I do know that they have very little time to figure this out. Next week is game week. A week from today is game week. And LSU is intending on playing former SEC players that got pro contracts and came back to school. They intend on playing them. So what does Greg Sankey and the SEC do? I don't know, but I know because of what he did to Alabama, he has got to at least try as hard as he can to make that happen. What does this mean for Ole Miss? As I told you guys when that ruling came down, that I did not expect any of them back at Ole Miss. So this is not surprising at all. I didn't expect any of the three of them to return. I think maybe I'm wrong. I think Wydette Williams might make the team, so that's not even something to worry about. Xavier Harris at the moment is not in shape, and I don't just mean like he can't run. There's a reason the Saints cut him when they did. I don't think he's a plug and play guy that's boom, just going to go play football right now and it's all good. I don't think that's the case at the moment. And Daquan Wright can certainly help if they can get him eligible. We'll see if they can. What about the NFL though? That's the most interesting part of this because everybody's calling for rules. I want rules, but what I want is the NCAA to not violate antitrust law. I want, because this is a free country after all, I want there to not be an arbitrary restriction on the earning potential of a legal adult without them having a seat at the table. So I've been talking about collective bargaining for, again, 10 years because the NCAA violated the law. So I want rules, but I want it done the right way. I don't think we're going to get there anytime soon anyway. And I don't think a bill, even if it gets passed, which I don't think it will, but even if it does, I don't think it would hold up in the Supreme Court anyway, because they're very against this kind of stuff because there's been a hearing about it anyway. I do wonder what the NFL's response to this will be. Because if we're being honest, Daquan Wright, great college player, not a high-level pro prospect. There's a very slim chance that he would ever actually make an NFL roster. But the NFL could help because I highly doubt. I know that NIL lawyer that's in on all the cases has said that this is a one-time thing and this won't happen again next year, and he's absolutely foolish for thinking that, because now that you've got the 5-for-5 deal, a player that leaves after 3 years or after 4 years that goes through the draft process, gets drafted, signs a rookie deal with the team of some kind, and then gets cut on cut day is going to try to come back to school. So it's just completely disingenuous garbage that that NIL, Darren Heitner, I think, isn't that his name? That the NIL attorney is saying that this is a one-off, because it's not. This will happen in perpetuity if nothing changes. 3 year and 4 year guys are going to go through this exact situation and try to come back to school every single year. That is going to happen. This is precedent setting if nothing can be done. But I do think that the NFL might look at this and try to put a stop to it. Because from listening to Todd Monken and seeing some reaction from around the NFL circles, I would be shocked beyond measure that the NFL is going to be in the business of babysitting guys for a few months until they can find their way back in college. That the NFL is not going to be in the business of being a fallback plan for certain guys. They're not going to sign rookie or UDFA deals just to have the player ghost them 10 days before cut day. That's not what they're going to do. So I would not be surprised at all if Roger Goodell also has some meetings this coming week about how to make sure that this kind of stuff does not happen to them as well, because they're not going to get involved in this. And what happens to these players? I mean, do they get to go through the draft process again? I doubt it. It's a weird, weird deal. And this is a big week for stupid news upcoming. And where do things go? I don't know, but I do know because of Bediako, Greg Sankey better act, because it very well could be his job on the line if he does not. So, whew, good stuff. Even though this is, maybe we're a week away from football. What are we doing? But anyway, glad you guys are here. Podcast is brought to you in part by Logan Smith Shelter Insurance, 601-823-3500. He's with Shelter, and he's got you covered for auto, home, life, or business insurance. 601-823-3500. Tell Logan Smith it was me that sent you there. Priority One Bank, also, they make you their priority every single day. 16 locations right here in Mississippi, so there's very likely to be one in your backyard. They have local loan servicing and decision-making, a great online banking platform, and more. Bank with me at Priority One Bank, and also Advantage Business Systems, absms.com, for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. So I might skip over some comments because I've already kind of addressed a lot of the first ones, but glad you guys are here. There's just a lot to catch up on. What is stopping Sankey from putting restrictions on LSU for breaking the rules? We're about to find out. We're about to find out. They will explore every single option because he's dug in on this issue. Whether you agree with this sentiment or think it's the dumbest thing on earth, it is very clear that his line that he has drawn is guys going pro and trying to come back. He has not, like I said before, he didn't try to stop Pavia. He didn't try to stop Trinidad. He's not trying to stop Will Whitson at Mississippi State playing his seventh year. It's that's where he's drawing his line, or at least that's what he did in basketball. And so he must do it for football too. So every option's on the table. Can he actually implement those options? We're about to find out. Louisville game can't get here soon enough. You're not kidding, man. You are not kidding. First, you were unsure how right situation, but then I saw the TRO included bypassing the SEC transfer rules, and it passed in a Baton Rouge court. I knew he was going to LSU. Yeah, of course, absolutely. This offseason has been insufferable, no doubt. Live by the sword, die by the sword. I guess this is the flip side of the Lane experience. Don't blame LSU for seeking every advantage, but it highlights how awful the current model really is. Well, there is no model because they've chosen to beg Ted Cruz and Maria Cantwell for help for 6 years instead of doing it on their own. They knew this was coming for years. They knew that their rules would not hold up under legal scrutiny. They knew that. And you want to know how I know that? Because I knew that. And I'm a nobody. Like I'm totally irrelevant. And yet I knew 10 years ago when I was a 24-year-old moron, right? Like I didn't know anything about anything, but I knew that NCAA rules violated the law. And so if I knew that, they certainly knew that, but they buried their heads in the sand and they dug their heels in on amateurism, and this is what they got. Ted Cruz couldn't deliver. Maria Cantwell couldn't deliver. And now you keep getting killed in court because your rules violate the law. So, yeah, expect more. This is only going to get worse before it gets better. 5 games week one you want to watch besides Ole Miss? Ooh, let's see. I like the change of pace here, by the way. Thank you. The week zero schedule, by the way, fellas, is it's good. Next Saturday for week zero, which, by the way, the NCAA, you know, nobody noticed, but the week zero slate is now, like, just everybody's going to start on week zero now moving forward. I told you guys that would happen. Let's see. All right, week one, though. Let's skip week zero. What games am I most looking forward to in week one that are not Ole Miss Louisville? Boise State, Oregon could be fun, although I do think Oregon is a lot better, but that could be a fun game. So there's one for sure to keep an eye on. Obviously, Clemson LSU is one worth watching for sure. Wisconsin Notre Dame, unfortunately, though, guys, it's on at the exact same time as Louisville Ole Miss on that Sunday. That stinks out loud. Let me see. I've only got the top 25 up right now because there's not many. There's only one top 25 matchup all weekend. Auburn-Baylor has a lot of pressure on Dave Aranda specifically, but I do think Alex Golish, with their difficult schedule, kind of needs that one. So I think that's five. Feel bad for the kids who busted their tails in spring and summer only to be cut because guys are coming back from NFL teams to take roster spots right before the season starts. True, and I do feel bad for them too, but, you know, that is professional sports. Now, again, the colleges have dug in. They're amateurs. It's still amateur athletics, but, yeah, that does suck. That absolutely does suck. That does happen at the next level, though. Two things. Lane must realize there's holes in his roster, and he's using the flaws of the current system. For sure. If there is a way to exploit something, he will. He will certainly do it. You think Ole Miss is scared of taking Daquan Wright due to the medical issues referenced by Todd Monken? I don't think scared would be the right word. I do think, you know, LSU has one tight end, and he's more of like a he's a freak athlete, but I would think he's more of like a big receiver than a true tight end. And after him, that room looks really bad. Part of it, I wonder, is for him, it'd be a playing time thing. I don't know, though. I don't know. Greg Sankey and the league have their work cut out. LSU is currently taunting and laughing. That's what they're doing. They're taunting. That's what I mean. It's funny. It really is funny. They just do not believe that the SEC is going to do anything. And frankly, do you blame them? Do you blame them for feeling that way? I don't. They're going to laugh in their face until they get punched. That's what's going to happen. From a legal standpoint, what is preventing a former tenured NFL vet from returning to college? If they are students, they make the case in court. I mean, truly, if a guy has eligibility left and he gets cut, even though he's been in the league for a year, what's stopping him? Shouldn't the SEC be policing all the tampering with coaches during the season, players and the clown show? I mean, there's no way to enforce tampering. It's kind of against the law to enforce tampering. If you really want to dive into that one too. Don't expect Wydett Williams to go back to college. Yeah, I don't think so. I think he might make that team. Or at worst, he's a practice squad guy. So would not be surprised if Xavien Harris ends up at LSU. But yeah, he got hurt anyway, but I don't think that he is presently what he was to start last season physically. Breakaway needs to happen now. No, they're dug in. Ted Cruz is going to save them. Wonder if Dabo's going to say anything. I mean, he better. You know, you're about to play. Former professional football players in a college football game. Come a long way from Sankey allowing Leo Lewis to testify. Oh, you know what? That slipped my mind. That absolutely slipped my mind. 2 weeks before the season, NFL cuts happen on the 30th. I'd assume Wright and other players are having court dates to restraining orders lined up quickly. Oh, for sure. Like I said earlier, though, I do wonder what the NFL is going to respond with here. I don't think they're going to let themselves be used in this way. Almost use the court system. Marty, good to see you. Good to see you, man. Only issue for LSU is finding roster spots. They'll figure that out. So there's 105 anyway. They'll make sure that works itself out. It's probably hard to go deeper on it, but I saw your tweet that on this potentially ending up like Sorsby. How do you think that could happen? You get other states involved legally. That's how. I would not, again, like I keep referencing Alabama because of the Betty Ocko thing. If I were Alabama, I'd be getting my people involved. Let's see. Hold on. All right, LSU does play Alabama and Auburn. Okay, so I would be setting it up that way where, like with the Sorsby thing, other states got involved. And so if there's going to be a judge in Louisiana that gets involved, I would not be surprised if other states in the SEC somehow get lawyers and judges involved with this as well. That would not surprise me. I mean, wouldn't you explore that option, especially if you were Alabama after the Betty Ocko thing? How much are they going to try to pay Wright? He's not even going to be tight end one. I have no idea. I have no idea. Would love to be a fly on the wall in Sankey's office tomorrow. Oh my gosh. If anybody could tap into his phone system. Oh, I'm sure he's got a burner phone though. Even though I guess the league office can't be subpoenaed because it's not a public institution. Maybe it can, I don't know. But could you imagine getting to hear those conversations tomorrow? Because it will be every single AD and every single president. And I mean, it will be everybody. And I would assume that they're going to have some kind of AD's call tomorrow. There will be something like that. And I mean, the pay-per-view that you could sell to be able to hear those conversations. So here you go. Two easy ones. Relaford got an ACL injury and Shanklin is not practicing with the team due to disciplinary reasons. There you go. There's two roster spots. Done. I mean, that the roster spots is the easiest part of that conversation there. Love how Twitter is comparing the Trinidad case to this mess, but it's only one portion. I mean, this is a 99-1 issue. It's not even a 90-10 issue. It's a 99-1 issue. People take exception to, I mean, this is just the truth. There are a lot of people that took exception to Trinidad's extra year nationally. That was not universally, like people weren't okay with that by and large. But that wasn't a 99-1 issue like this is. I mean, it's truly everybody thinks this sucks with the exception of people from the state of Louisiana. And there's really no, you know, mixing between those two. It's not a Venn diagram. It's just two circles. And so I would just try your best to ignore that because only, you know, again, it's a 99-1 issue. How much movement with these players do you think can happen between now and the first games in 2 weeks? And that's the other thing is, obviously some of these guys will be able to find homes. Great college players are not NFL prospects for sure, but all of these schools spent the offseason trying to replace these players, and a lot of them did a good job in doing so. I mean, there's not many NFL players out there, but there's a lot of guys that get training camp contracts out there, and you've got to thread a fine needle if you're these guys too, because again, if you are an NFL prospect and you come back and you pull all these shenanigans, is the NFL going to give you another shot? What does that process look like for you? Can you go through the draft process? I doubt it. So there's kind of a risk there. Do you think Wright is playing for LSU on September 19th? Oh, don't hold me to this. Please don't hold me to this. I would bet a very, very, very tiny amount on no, but don't hold me to that. Yeah, and then this is the next one as well. If I was Tennessee and Arian Carter, I'd be making some phone calls. So Alabama needs to get involved because of Betty Ocko, and now Tennessee needs to be getting involved because of Arian Carter being suspended for 2 games because he had one single flight paid for, but you've got guys that signed NFL contracts plus all the other stuff that are just going to come right back in and play right away? No, that's not how that's going to work. If I'm Tennessee, I'm losing my mind as well. And I'm getting, if this is the game and I'm Tennessee, I'm playing that. I'm going to do the same thing. And I'm demanding the SEC do something about this as well. And that's why I think you might see a Sorsby thing upcoming, because obviously I would assume Ole Miss is not particularly pleased with this. Alabama, obviously not. Tennessee shouldn't be as well. You've got 3 states that are incentivized to assist the SEC in fighting back. And I wouldn't be surprised if they all got involved to some degree. Wonder where Z Harris will end up at LSU. The more interesting case will be if Jack Pyburn doesn't make the Bucks 53. Could be playing an NFL game Friday night and be in Baton Rouge on Saturday. See, I mean, doesn't that just sound so it's just ridiculous to say out loud. I mean, that's just an absurdity. But doesn't he have a real chance at making that team, though? Like, he's a fringe cut guy. But if you're him, too, if you get cut, I mean, you've got to clear waivers, but wouldn't you rather be on a practice squad? I think that he'd be able to get on one. Then go back to college. League is also yes, the league is standing against LSU basketball right now. That they are, but have not publicly done anything about this yet. But I mean, the basketball player is going to get his injunction, so go ahead and count on that. You guys know who the governor of Louisiana is? Yeah, they're going to make sure that that happens. I agree with this. I think this moves the breakaway clock up exponentially. I agree. I do agree with that. Let's say they can't win in court. What does Sankey do? Not a lot of time left here. I mean, you explore the bylaws and try to find some kind of punishment. He can't afford to maintain his status and do nothing. I think you can't maintain that. He has to do something. Has to. There's going to have to be a second portal window in the future. Sure hope not. The one window has been really good. One window has been really good. Never been a Sankey fan, loved his COVID response, but everything else has been lackluster. He had all the bargaining chips and did nothing. Big Ten has passed. Yes, it has. Sankey could be in contempt of court. I would follow that up with dream on, brother. Dream on. Okay. Come on now. You think that the SEC doesn't have also the legal ability to make sure that you followed up with it's one class. Don't get it twisted. No, it's absolutely not one class. This will happen every single year. Every player that leaves a 3-year or 4-year player that goes through the draft process and gets cut will try to come back to school. It's going to happen every year. I don't know how you could look at what's happening right now and think that this is not going to be a catalyst for perpetual attempts to come back to school. If this goes crazy, he can't control it. This is the final straw with Sankey. I agree. Can't go on like this with the bad moves that have been made and the chaos that's already happened. Yep. All right, so I'm way behind on comments here. So I hate to do that. I hate doing this. I hate doing this. But I am going to scroll past a lot of comments, unfortunately. Sam, good to see you, man. Good to see you. Enjoy on the radio. You've come a long way from the K house in the Ole Miss newspaper. Oh, buddy, I don't like looking back on me back then, physically mostly. I ballooned up did I get fat in college? My goodness. Sorry, that was kind of insensitive, but boy, did the freshman 15 turn into the sophomore 50 and then the junior 75 really quick, man. College was not good on my body at all. So I appreciate you, man. Good to see you. Don't be a stranger. See, and then this, baseball is less high profile, but Anthony, you're right. I mean, what about minor league kids now? Never make the pros, that they either never went to college or left after 3 years, but they have 5 years of eligibility. What's stopping them? Nothing. Nothing. Let's see. Maybe every player suspended for BS extra benefits by the NCAA should get their suspended time back. AJ Green, Johnny Football. Well, he only missed a half. He only missed a half. But these schools that want to play a bunch of 23 or 25 year olds need to form their own league. Well, that's closer. It's closer than you think, I believe. Don't think the SEC can do anything at this point. They just have to, they have to exhaust the efforts. I mean, if they lose, they lose, but they have to try everything. So I don't know. I look, I'm an NFL fan, but I don't cover the NFL, so I don't know the nuances of free agency and draft and stuff like that. I don't know what his status would be after this coming football season. I don't know. Dennis, I appreciate the super chat, man, even though you, I think you're an LSU fan, but I appreciate you, man. Thank you. Calling a guy who didn't get drafted and who got cut before the NFL season a former professional player is a stretch, but keep up the good fight. It's not a stretch. He had a professional contract. He was a contractually paid football player by two teams in the National Football League. That's a by every definition. He declared for the draft. He hired an agent. And I know that the 5-for-5 thing is the catalyst for this, and the NCAA screwed up that timing. They blew that. I mean, God, what a... Even if Ted Cruz's bill passes, they're the people that are going to be in charge? This is their... Anyway, I've spent the last 10 years ranting against the NCAA to the point where it just gets exhausting, but he declared for the draft. He signed an agent. He signed a pro contract. That is a professional by every definition. Yeah, they've been playing this for a while. Todd Monken's press conference was really funny. If you got to watch it. Todd's great. I hate that he's in Cleveland. You say, what's funny is if there is a quarterback available by the TRO, I'd bet Texas Tech would step in and try to get him. Oh, buddy, do I have news for you. Have you not seen that? Even though I don't think he'd start there, but Castellanos, the former Florida State quarterback, guess where he's probably going to go? I'm not kidding. Ole Miss injury is fine, right? No, the offensive line got banged up during training camp. I don't believe any of it is season ending, but it's the offensive line. Guys get banged up and stuff. So that, is not ideal, but I think that, none of them are expected to miss week one, but I did hear that there were some, training camp issues, guys sitting out, banged up on the offensive line. So, no, that generally pretty healthy, knock on wood, but that is something. Prescorn could come back now. I mean, why not? All he could do is make him ineligible for the conference title. So if he could do that, could he withhold the television revenue? I don't know. I mean, I'm just like throwing that out there as, a way that you could actually harm them to the point where they would stop, because you can't just, turn away $80 million or whatever. I don't know. I mean, we're about to find out quickly. He does not have time. He did nothing with the Trinidad TRO. He did nothing with the Clemson tampering by Golding. Okay. That is not the same thing as a pro coming back to play, but continue. He did nothing when Texas did the same crap last week. You really have a weird view on this. I don't. My view on this is very collected and backed up by precedent because he did this, LSU fan, when Charles Bediako tried to play for Alabama. The league stepped in and they were able to win without having to go too far, but that is where he drew the line, was right there. And so it's not my view, it's the league's view. And how do we know it's their view? Because of their actions. You mentioned he didn't do anything with the Trinidad TRO. I don't know what you want the SEC to do about a simple tampering thing. That's not what's the issue here. They're not going to get involved with the Notre Dame player because that's not the intra-conference transfer rule thing. It's not my view, as I explained. This time, you know, you listen to it. I'm telling you what the league's actions have been. So if you think that's weird, that's them. It's not me. It's what the league has done to this point. But hit like and subscribe, though. I'd appreciate you. Wonder what Lane's bestie, Nick CAA, Ben is thinking right now. Oh, gosh. Well, he'll just go lobby Congress some more because that's what we need. Are we getting a peek of the Realtree helmets? I have no idea. I need to ask. I have no idea. I love when people say stuff like this. Can't wait for Golding to get a depth piece next week and hear the reversal from Ole Miss fans and media. No. Nope. If Ole Miss gets a player that is currently in NFL training camp, I will tell you that I don't like it and it should not be allowed to happen. And if it came from another SEC school, I would say that the league should step in and try to prevent it from happening. So I love, you know, when people put hypothetical opinions into somebody else's brain. But no, I do not think that that should happen. And if it does, I will tell you, I don't think it should happen. I don't like it. That's where I draw the line, too. I think once you sign a pro contract, man, you're done. That's what it should be. So, no, I don't want that. You're a pro now. Go to the UFL. You have declared. That is it. Or at least that's what it should be. But anyway. Sean Saunders is doing well for the Patriots. What's your prediction for A.J. Brown this year? Oh, man, I have no idea. I do know that, or at least I think that he's an offense that's going to use him a little bit more intentionally. Off topic, got any advice for an Ole Miss sophomore majoring in sports journalism? I would love to give you that advice, man. What I would tell you to do, you know, pay attention in class and do all that. But what is more important, Ole Miss, see, this is why Ole Miss does not invite me back to speak at all. Like, I have not been invited once to, like, come talk to a class or anything. And here's why. Because, again, pay attention in class, do your work, all that. But the most important thing that you can do is provide yourself with reps. That's what you have to do. No class, no test. No, and look, they try. Like, you know, we wrote feature articles and stuff and got those graded. We did television packages. And that was all really, it was helpful and useful. But the only way that you're going to make it is if you practice all the time. And even if, like, you know, if you want to do podcasting, get yourself a $10 USB mic off Amazon and just record yourself talking. Just do 10 minutes, just 10 minutes at a time. Here's what I want to talk about and structure what you want to say and record yourself and then walk away for an hour and then listen to it and critique yourself and take notes of yourself. And if you want to write, you don't have to publish it anywhere. Just after Ole Miss plays Louisville, write a game article and compare yours to Neil McCready's and Michael Katz and see what you like about their style and what you liked about yours and what you can learn from them. And that's the only way that you're going to work in sports media is if you do it away from the classroom, because that's just not enough. It's not enough in the classroom. Give yourself reps every day. I say that as somebody that did not do that. I started behind. I got lucky enough to get hooked up with the guys at Red Cup and started doing podcasting and stuff for them initially. And then got in with Super Talk and started producing. And I was way behind, especially when I was applying for jobs initially before I got on with Super Talk. And I got really lucky to get on with Super Talk. I was behind, man. My resume sucked because I didn't do that. So reps, man. Give yourself reps. Even if you don't publish it anywhere, you don't need to work for anybody. You just need to work and do it. The only way you get better is by doing. So that's the best advice I could give you. Good luck, man. It's a lot of fun. Don't expect to get paid a lot, though. My employer takes really good care of me, but the journalism field, man, in sports, you got to love it. You know, it's a labor of love. How much would Sankey and the league go to in pushing one of their likely better teams this season? I mean, Alabama was possible national title contender. I know it's basketball, but possible national title contender in basketball. And he did that midseason. So oh yeah. I mean, it's clear that LSU's dug in legally, and the SEC, I think, needs to be dug in legally, and then it's going to be a fight. So, yeah. As a Mississippi State fan, LSU is the most toxic university in the country. I hope they lose every game. Too bad they only started offering sports journalism when you were a senior. Man, they didn't have it, obviously. If you were a senior, they didn't have it at all when I was in school. I would have loved that. I want to know more about it, though. Tell me more about it. What kind of stuff do they have you guys doing? Because again, so the advice I just gave, I was not in school, so maybe I hope that, you know, they're sending you guys to like softball games and stuff like that. Oh, there's another one. Go cover high school football. That they're always looking. There are always small publications that are looking for people to go cover high school football games for them. Always. So that would be another one. It's a lot of fun too. I know, you know, you're in college. You don't want to sacrifice your Friday nights, but there are always people looking for somebody to go do that for you, or for them. I mean, does Greg Sankey survive this? I think he will. Memphis Rep, good to see you, man. It's been a while. Hope you're doing well. May complain about all this offseason crap, but I'll still be watching three games at a time next Saturday, eating my cream cheese and sausage Rotel dip and loving every minute. Hand up, me too. Me too. Me too. No doubt. Got a master's in journalism, currently working on an interviewing for a job. Can already tell it takes a while to get into the field where you want, for sure. Let me know how that goes, man. Good luck to you. Good luck to you. Well, we went really long tonight, so I'm going to go ahead and hit the sack. We got a long week ahead of us. Early wake-up call for school and all the things. So I appreciate you guys being here as always. Again, we'll be live on Thursday and we'll be live again on Sunday. We'll be live on Tuesday and Thursday and Sunday as usual. No remotes for the radio show this week. I will tell you, because none of you asked, I will tell you. So none this week, none next week. And then on Tuesday the 8th, I won't be here. We'll be way up in Senatobia, so I won't be able to make it back in time. And then the week after, that's LSU week, where we will be in Oxford on Thursday and on Friday of that week. So, yeah. It's just, what is that, 4 weeks away? That'll be fun. Looking forward to that one. I appreciate you guys. I'll see you on Tuesday night. Really, really appreciate you. I'll talk to you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.